Welcome back to Fortitude. I am your host, J.W. Wilson. Today we have a really special guest, a friend of mine. I would say we're friends.
Yeah, totally.
The current president of TCU, Daniel Pullen. Thank you, Daniel, for joining us on the show.
Oh, hey, thanks, J.W. It's good to see you.
The man who would be king. This is very exciting. One of these days, Mr. Victor Boschini will retire and you will succeed him as chancellor of TCU, correct?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot from here to there.
Okay, but
I love working with him every day.
Right.
You know, really getting inside his mind of, you know, over 20 years of really transformational leadership, whether you're talking about the physical campus and how it's been transformed or how he's really engaged our constituents to bring people together, how he's lifted the academic profile of the institution, how he's put the TCU brand into really the stratosphere of the top tier universities in the country. I mean, to get to run alongside that guy and really be mentored by him is just such a real privilege at this chapter of my career.
For sure. Big shoes to fill for sure, but you're no doubt primed to do a great job. You've already done a whole bunch. We'll get into that a little bit. It says November 9th is your investiture.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so it's the formal ceremony where the president is installed. It's a gathering of so many different constituents and stakeholders of the institution.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly our faculty, our student leadership, alumni, trustees. We've also reached out to a number of members of the community, elected officials, other civic leaders.
Right.
It's really a great gathering place for all of Fort Worth and beyond.
Very cool. You've made a really wonderful presence since you've arrived here in 2019. One of those things is here on the set today, your shoes.
Oh,
you always have some really awesome shoes, man. What's up with the shoes?
Yeah, so I showed up my very first day when I joined TCU in 2019. Wearing, you know, a suit pretty much like I am today, but also with these purple Chuck Taylors.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a bunch of reasons. First of all, my leadership style is to actually get outside of my office and onto campus and to try to meet our faculty, staff, and students where they are. I think it's a easier way for me to understand the goodness that exists across TCU, understand the sum product of their aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
What they're dreaming about and also what can be improved about the institution as we look ahead. And so if you're walking about our stunning campus every day, putting in a lot of steps, I've kind of come to the conclusion that life's too short for uncomfortable shoes. I got to preserve these knees,
for
the long run.
Yes,
so that's part of it. But another part of it is I think that it's a little bit unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not uncommon for me to be walking across campus and maybe a student I haven't met yet will go, "Hey, dude, nice shoes."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "Oh, well, thank you very much. And who are you and where are you from and what's your major and what's going right and what's going wrong and how can I help you?" And so I think it makes me a better president to have that accessibility and the comfort of our students and others to engage in conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, they're a bit of a metaphor, if you will, for the type of performance, I'm hoping to see TCU to take in, to the next 150 years of our history. Just like we're asking our football team and our tennis team and all of our athletics programs to lace them up and run and compete at the highest levels, I expect that on the academic side as well. Because ultimately the instrument of our impact is the student and where she goes and the type of difference that she makes. And today with it being, so challenging in the world and volatile and dynamic, I mean, you've got to be able to pivot. You've got to be able to cut and move and have agility and be athletic, so to speak, as a university.
I love it.
And so it really does set the cultural tone for how far we're going to go and how fast we're going to get there.
Well, your shoe game is very strong.
Thank you.
One of the things I love about you. Well, when you arrived here in 2019, you were the dean of the Neely Business School.
Yep.
You were accredited, and rightfully so, with a lot of things: youth faculty growth, curriculum innovation, increased visibility for the school, and some community and civic engagements. Just briefly, if you don't mind, your time as dean, you were teaching as well. Talk a little bit about those pivotal years.
Sure. Yeah. No. It was what a remarkable opportunity, and just a really great moment in my career, and for a lot of reasons. First of all, it was for the most part rife with disruption. If you think about it, I got here in 2019, got a traditional semester under my belt, just enough time to kind of figure out where the restroom was and learn everybody's names, and then the pandemic hit, and so it was while while tragic from a humanity perspective, I think from a leadership opportunity, it was a real chance to rise to the occasion and to leverage what I think has been a hallmark of TCU since, you know, our founding, which is really positioning ourselves as an institution of innovation who is able to adapt and understand a shifting marketplace and then figure out, okay, how do we best serve our students and stakeholders in new and interesting ways, whether it's technologically forward, whether it's the way we communicate. You know, even my job as dean changed. It wasn't just, okay, we're going to approve curriculum and hire faculty and provide outstanding student success services. And in many ways, my job changed to be more of like chief communication officer, right? Because, you know, no one had been through that before, at least in 100 years, you know, in our country. There was, you know, no step-by-step plan on, you know, how to navigate that successfully. The only thing I really knew how to do was be open, honest, authentic, and communicate with frequency. So as I was either perceiving changes or challenges or solutions, that we could really bring the whole organization together, because it required all of us to get through it. And what was exciting about that was that it actually was a bit of a forcing device for us to make some changes, some modernization opportunities, whether it's on the curricular level or programmatically, or how we engage the totality of our stakeholders. That really moved, I think, the Neely School of Business firmly into the 21st century. And I think we're building in that college here at TCU, but really institution-wide, we're building a university that's really prepared for the rest of the 21st century.
What an amazing concept, Daniel, is you come in to lead this world-renowned business school, and suddenly there's no real school to, I mean, it goes online and you're not seeing kids, you're not teaching. I mean, the whole idea and how you guys came out of it so strong and were pressing it forward like the world is, that's just an amazing accomplishment. I congratulate you on that.
So. Well, thank you. It was, you know, it was a little spooky. You know, we had just literally kind of an 8-year project to conceive of, design, fundraise for, construct, and then open the Hayes Business Commons, which is kind of the totality of the 5 buildings that comprise the Neely School of Business. And we cut the ribbon on that puppy January 30th of 2020, and then, you know, we send everybody home March 13th. So we got, you know, 5 weeks out of an 8-year project was unexpected. And then, you know, because, you know, we were really focused on safety and the perception of safety, and that, you know, it's not business as usual, but business is going to continue to move forward at TCU and in the Neely School. You know, the deans and other leaders, you know, we decided we would stay on campus, never at home. And so it was, you know, 225,000 square feet of brick and mortar, and then like one dude, me, you know, holding down the fort every day. So it was, you know, even emotionally, you know, it was kind of a lonely existence.
But were you allowed on campus?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we came together as a leadership team and said being on campus and being that visible presence was important to the perception of the school and our commitment to getting back to an on-campus residential experience as soon as possible. And certainly we did that, you know, kind of at the front end of most of the marketplace.
You were named president February 1, 2023, this current year we're in. You mentioned teaching. Are you still teaching now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll never not teach. You know, and I know that probably, you know, most university presidents, you know, don't teach because, you know, whatever, folks think there's an opportunity cost, because it takes a lot of time to teach, you know, the preparation, the delivery, the grading, the office hours with the students, you know, and keeping the curriculum fresh. And, you know, it's a significant time investment. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, the president should be out fundraising or, you know, working in the community. And all those things are true. But, you know, I don't know how you can really effectively lead unless you understand and embrace the power of the student voice.
Surely.
And so by being in the classroom, you know, I'm coming face to face with, you know, the next generation of leaders that we're producing as alumni. I'm listening to the things that are working and going right. I'm understanding the opportunities we have to improve. Building relationships that I think will last for decades as they mature into not just college graduates, but really engaged alumni. And so I think it makes me, a better president. And hopefully it sends a signal, right, to others on campus and beyond that, we value teaching at TCU. In many ways, it's our reason, to exist, in addition to knowledge creation and research and discovery and improving insights that can benefit humanity. But really teaching students and preparing them to be the citizens we need is so important. And so as the president, I want to model that behavior. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, it's just a lot of fun. I mean, I love to teach. It's kind of why I got into this industry to begin with.
What class are you teaching right now?
Entrepreneurship and innovation.
Okay, how big a classroom are we talking about?
It's one of the biggest classes at TCU by design. We pride ourselves on very small, intimate mm-hmm. learning environments, but I don't get to teach as much as I used to. And so mm-hmm. when I do get into the classroom, I want to make it count. I want to, I want to impact as many lives as I can. And so it's about 50 students, and it's open to all majors, because I think, all Horned Frogs will have careers, and I think all individuals increasingly need to be innovators. And it's that entrepreneurial spirit and mindset that's going to allow us to conceive things that need to exist in the world but don't, and then figure out how our talent can be on the critical pathway between the status quo and improvement opportunities for society.
Nice.
So you could be a history major, a ballerina, a computer scientist, mm-hmm. you could be a freshman, you could be a senior. Everybody gets to play in my class.
Nice. Prior to getting to TCU, and those of us who know you better, I don't know if everybody knows this story, but you have a really interesting past prior to TCU. You were an alumnus of Oklahoma University, OU.
Yeah.
You graduated, went on to Harvard Business School, mm-hmm. correct? Then you came back, got your Juris Doctor at OU. Then you became the Vice President of the school, Dean of the Price College of Business there, which is a prominent school as well. And all these things, you have a really awesome resume. You come to TCU, and now you're this person for us, which we're truly grateful. But there's a rivalry between these two schools for a long time. Maybe not in some people's respect, but how does that work from going from OU to TCU? Are there people at OU that are still friendly with you? Been rough?
Yeah, no, it hasn't been rough. I mean, sometimes, when there's a football game that breaks out, or the athletic competition. But I've found that higher education is far mm-hmm. more collaborative than competitive. And so it's been a really great, I guess now half decade of my career since I joined mm-hmm. TCU to be able to still invest in relationships at Oklahoma, understand what they're thinking about, share some of our ideas, and figure out, collectively, how are we going to educate students mm-hmm. that are going to make a lasting difference in the world, whether they're in Norman, Oklahoma, or Fort Worth, Texas, mm-hmm. or other parts. So for me, it's been a really good relationship, with the leadership at OU, and I'm proud of that institution and what they're doing. But obviously, made a very affirmative decision to come to TCU, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of reasons for that. The reality of, the marketplace in which we sit. I mean, I don't think we can overstate the macro trends that are in our favor of being in, what is the country's fastest growing major city in Fort mm-hmm. Worth. If you look at DFW as a metro area, it's the number four largest, and it's the fastest growing as well. Mm-hmm. And if you think about what's going to define success, certainly for business schools, but I think for institutions of higher education in general, is we're going to have to position ourselves increasingly to operate at the intersection of the academy mm-hmm. and industry. We're going to have to upwardly adjust our curriculum to be more experiential right. in nature, where students are rolling up their sleeves and not just learning about theory, mm-hmm. but actually practicing their craft, because that's going to strengthen their narrative as they're on the job hunt.
Sure.
And that's what a job is, really, is, it's a platform to lead, mm-hmm. And if you can't get a job, if you don't have the skill set, if you don't have the experience, to be relevant in the marketplace,
right.
all of your talents and capabilities, aren't positioned to be fully realized. And that's what we really need for our graduates and the next generation of leaders for society. And so when I was thinking about TCU and in this marketplace, that was that was a big component. On a personal level, I grew up in Plano, so it was really nice to get back to Texas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I've maintained lifelong friendships in and around Fort Worth and, you know, the broader North Texas area. So that's been exciting and fun just on a personal dimension. And then, you know, the continuity of leadership at TCU, you know, the strength of the Board of Trustees, you know, 21 years of, you know, of incredible success, you know, with Chancellor Bocchini. And just a really great, you know, an experienced cabinet. You know, as I was looking at the institution, you know, it's one of the it's one of the universities that I think has come as far and as fast as anyone in the mm-hmm. in the nation. And you know, it's always exciting to be on a rocket ship because
surely,
you're going places.
Surely. One of the things that I've learned about you over the years, in the commencement speech upon basically your exit from the OU to come here. You gave a really impassioned speech that people still talk about. Can you take us a little bit, tell us a little about that?
Yeah, it was a really great, a great opportunity. It was an emotional opportunity because, you know, as you mentioned, you know, I have 3 degrees from OU, and it was a big part of my, you know, education and my, you know, my career in a lot of ways. And so I had a lot to say, you know, about institutions and their importance mm-hmm. in society and, you know, in my opinion, you know, how institutions should be nurtured and some of the, you know, the tenets that need to, you know, that need attention, mm-hmm. You know, because I, just like I'm working hard every day to transition TCU from its first amazing 150 years to maybe even a more amazing next 150 mm-hmm. years, you know, I'd want the same for the University of Oklahoma. It means so much to that state. As its flagship research institution, you know, so many of the leaders of Oklahoma have emanated from the university there. And you know, if I had, based upon experience and perspective, you know, something that hopefully was constructive and helpful as they charted their path forward, then I didn't want to leave those insights on the shelf.
I love that. Thank you. All right, let's talk about TCU now. TCU. Stated enrollment online, the best I could find, and numbers are always a little bit here and there, but it says for 2023, there's 12,785 total students, undergrads around 10.
Yeah.
It's 12,000, almost 13,000 students. Average annual cost stated online is 70 grand without aid, with aid, which is a big component of a lot of people's attendance here, 39-ish thousand. It's an expensive school, no doubt. It's obviously a place, a well-renowned place of education. My question is kind of the school itself does all these things. I was wondering more broadly, the price of education these days in this country, especially in college, is getting up there. Is this price, is this a thing that'll keep drifting upwards, or at some point does college become too expensive for generally people to go to? I was wondering if you can comment about the price of college these days.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, both here locally, but you know, but also nationally, you know, you've seen increasing price points. And there's a lot of reasons for that, by the way. Higher education is not unique. And I mean, we're currently, as we, you know, have this conversation today, we're in a, you know, high inflationary environment. Mm-hmm. We're seeing the cost of healthcare rise. Energy and utilities rise. Obviously, we want to invest in talent to attract, retain, and propel, you know, the most outstanding faculty and staff. And, you know, and our aspirations are high. We really want to continue to ascend into the top level of universities in this
sure.
country. And so, you know, undoubtedly, there are forces, some of which, you know, are our aspirations, some of which are beyond our control, you know, that would suggest a, you know, a rising cost structure. At the same time, I'm really proud of TCU for the innovation, you know, from an effectiveness perspective, efficiency perspective. We've got a lot of really talented people that are making sure that the funds that we are entrusted with, that mm-hmm. They're deployed with an eye towards stewardship and prudency. And I could get into the weeds on a number of initiatives that are mm-hmm. have already occurred and are ongoing that are going to make sure that whatever the net price point is, that we're positioning TCU to create one of the strongest return on investments in education in
sure.
the country. And that's really, to me, it's not, education is an investment. It's an investment in human capital,
mm-hmm.
you know, in yourself and in the broader impact you can make on many, many lives throughout your, you know, career. And so if our student outcomes, right, whether it's learning outcomes, whether it's our student placement rates, whether it's starting salaries, would suggest that, you know, whatever the prevailing price point is, that's a really good investment, then I think that you'll continue to see what we have seen, which is increasing appetite and interest in the institution. You know, we're still, you know, in our application process for this cycle. I'll tell you, the applications are quite strong. Mm-hmm. Last year, even, you know, when a lot of the applications were in before even the big run to the football national championship game, you know, we had, you know, just over 22,000 applications for about 2,400 first-year student spots. And so, you know, the market is speaking for itself, and the price point, both the kind of the rack rate and then sort of the net based upon the strength of our financial aid, would suggest that many people, not just here in Texas, because TCU is now in a majority out-of-state university, but many people nationally and globally are finding strong returns on their investment in a Horned Frog education.
Right. I'm glad you said that, Daniel, because I last year's sports season, football, basketball, baseball, all received postseasons, first school to ever do that in 1 year.
Unbelievable.
We've heard that the applications are going to be around 50,000 maybe this year. I mean, so sports, the school, it's all coming together. Like, people aren't afraid of the price point, to your point exactly. It's not scaring people off. In fact, the school's general successes are driving more, and this is an incredible thing.
Yeah, so I wouldn't take 50,000 to the bank. We'll see it is. I do think it will be up materially from that 22,000 number year over year. But I will say, as excited as I am about the excellence at TCU, and we're going to continue to invest in that academic excellence as we look ahead, I'm equally as heartened by our commitment to access. Mm-hmm. And that has so much to do with our alumni and corporate partners, foundations, the type of donors who are kind of co-investing in our process and our progress, to really allow us to, in fact, you know, the latest stat I saw was, you know, 71% of every student of our entire student body, 71% of them are receiving meaningful financial aid.
Nice.
I think that we're able to live true to our aspiration of finding, attracting, retaining, and propelling talent, regardless of socioeconomic status, starting point, background, lived experience. I mean, we're looking for the best and brightest because I think what we are doing on and beyond campus is quite special.
I agree with you. Moving forward, strategic plans for the future. I mean, not to get into the weeds, but is there a general thing you can tell us about the plans for the school in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think said simply, I think my job and what I'm being asked to do is to make this great place even greater.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do that. There are a lot of initiatives and what have you, you know, but I do have priorities. Mm-hmm. My first priority, and there are about five big ones, really. The first is around sustainability, which is a big word and means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But for me, you know, that means financial sustainability, that means operational sustainability, and it means environmental sustainability. I mean, we have a beautiful campus, to operate that campus, it's very resource intensive. And so I really want to make sure that we're using the latest technology, that we're, you know, again, being really great stewards with the footprint that we provide, to ensure that you know, we're doing right by the planet and we're doing right by the cost structure of the enterprise. So that's one. You know, we're going to continue, even though we just actually last night we announced the successful completion of a $1 billion capital campaign, which we could talk about some more. Very, very exciting, you know, kind of milestone moment in the history of TCU. We're not done, you know, partnering with those that believe in what mm-hmm. we believe, because, you know, they believe it for themselves. And I think that you'll see additional fundraising priorities emerge. Likewise, we've made some significant investments organizationally and from a talent perspective in our endowment. We have aggressive endowment growth targets. And so when you think about whether it's fundraising, endowment performance, cost structure management, and just being good stewards of the built environment, sustainability is an important priority of mine.
Yes.
My second one is really around positioning TCU as a destination for talent. Faculty talent, staff talent, student talent, and even employers, you know, who are in some ways a customer on the back end of what we do. We're gonna work really, really hard to put the types of packages together to attract and bring faculty, staff, and students to campus. But we're also gonna work really hard to be a go-to shop for the acquisition of talent upon graduation, and even before graduation through student internships. We wanna work backwards from the marketplace. You know, part of my background is I actually haven't always been in higher ed. I used to be in the private sector, so I have a good sense for what employers might be looking for. And so we have to position TCU to be kind of the translator between what's happening in the classrooms and the laboratories and the performance halls,
right,
and what the expectations and evolving needs are of employers and this growing workforce. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned operational real quick. Are you allowed or able to tell us what does it cost TCU to operate for a year? Is there a budget number you could tell us?
Yeah, I mean you can find it out there. We're pretty transparent. It's about net of financial aid, it's about $650 million.
$650 a year.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
So sustainability and talent and by the way, the majority of that cost structure is actually bound up in salaries and benefits, because as beautiful as our campus is and we're so proud of it, you know, we cannot ever lose sight of the real asset of an institution is the human. And so that's why positioning TCU as a destination for talent is a second priority. If you get the fuel right, the sustainability, and you get, you know, someone to kind of drive the car, if you will, through talent, then you can start to, you know, do some tricks and really get aggressive with some really fun initiatives. So the last three are around raising the academic quality and profile of the institution, you know, really pouring into what's happening in the classroom, what's happening in the laboratories, so that we can continue to demonstrate thought leadership. The fourth priority is around student success, and we've always been pretty good at student success. I would put particularly our undergraduate student experience up against any institution in the country. But student success is changing, and student needs are changing, particularly in a post-pandemic environment. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably rethink a few ways that we support our students, but that rethinking will yield a variety of enhancements. And even though you've been good at something, and you know this, right? You're a great businessman. Just because you're good at something, it doesn't mean that it falls off your strategic priority list, that you take it for granted or you just sort of let it be the way it's always been. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to innovate around how we care for our students. And the last one's really fun. It's a brand, right? You talked about, you know, what's happening in the athletics department, all that success. You know, I could regale you with, you know, sort of our ascension and a lot of the academic rankings and other instances of quality. But TCU is squarely on the map, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a seat at the table, and I would say an influential seat at the table, you know, whether you're talking about in academic circles, whether you're talking about conference realignment, you name it. And so if we have that moment, if we have that platform, then we need to make sure that we're not the best kept secret in higher education. Sure. That we're really connecting with the type of constituents and stakeholders and influencers that can really appreciate what you and I know every day, which is, you know, that TCU is one of the great universities in sure. America.
One of the things you got here in February, but this new term's come to light with sports and the school. Not all, it's all together, but we're now referred to as the Everything School, which is an incredible thing to say, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's right. You know, one of the first things I did when, you know, I started at TCU as the John V. Roach Dean of the Neely School in 2019, was to really invest in TCU culture. You know, I'd been a dean at another institution before, so I knew how to be a dean, but what I needed to learn how to be is a horned frog.
Yes.
And so I really poured myself in. In fact, I started early. I started at the beginning of that summer. Most of these transitions, you don't start until the start of fall semester. Because I really wanted to get into the community, both here in Fort Worth and nationally. And one of the great traditions that we have at TCU are these Horned Frog send-offs, which are kind of backyard barbecues that maybe parents of existing TCU students throw in their local communities. We have them here in Fort Worth. We have them all over the country. And so I was out at one in Northern California, and one of the things I wanted to do as I was trying to learn how to, you know, be a horned frog and really appreciate our culture and community, I kept asking these incoming freshmen, I said, why did you choose TCU? You know, because you probably had an array of options, you have talent. And one student, her her response really resonated with me. She just looked me straight in the eye. You know, she's 17 years old. Mm-hmm. She goes, "It's simple. Small school, big sports, cool town." And I looked at her, I'm like, "Oh, you're hired. Like, you're on a marketing team, you know, day one." But then I got to thinking about it. She's right, you know, the quality and intimacy of a private school like TCU, not just sports, but the amenities that go with the type of student experience that we've created, and then to be educated against the backdrop of such an amazing community like Fort Worth. You know, then I said, she's right. It is the everything school. It, you know, at TCU, you can have it all. Mm-hmm. And then I got to thinking, and I was kind of pull out the map, and I looked at, you know, and I could only find five or six other universities that have that same value proposition.
Surely.
And so, you know, I love the term the everything school. It's true, and it certainly has proven to be a big part of our success.
The people like to rank everybody, and always online there's rankings. Since I'm on the web, the current TCU website, TCU's ranked number two best school for nursing, number two best college for education, which is funny because they're all teaching. So what if you're the last on the ranking of the College of Education? That'd be kind of interesting. Number one, happiest students by the Princeton Review. I don't know if you've seen this or not.
Sure.
That's a pretty interesting one. Like, I don't know how you measure that, but it's a very positive thing to say. If the kids are happy, I mean, everybody else is happy, I got to believe. Do you have any inkling into why that is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think happiness comes if you attend to a lot of the underlying contributors that I think are really basic and important to humans, like safety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we take campus safety quite seriously. You know, we don't believe that students, if they don't feel safe, if they don't feel secure, if they don't feel supported, if they don't feel encouraged to engage and be a part of, you know, a connected community, that it's hard for them to perform at their peak, both in the classroom and beyond the classroom, whether that's through student leadership opportunities, social outings, or what have you. And so by really focusing on the fundamentals, you know, fundamental human needs, I think it creates the platform for them to flourish academically, socially, and otherwise. And I see it, you know, I walk the campus all the time. I see it in their smiles. I see it in the beautiful questions they ask. I see it in the ideas they bring to the table that are usually the best ideas we have are the ones that come from our students. So when I saw that, not only was I heartened and pleased, but I was like, it was confirmatory of what I sort of see every day, you know, as I go about my job.
Couple more hard questions,
sure,
and then we'll go have some fun with you if you'll let us.
All right, sure.
The endowment at TCU stated at $2.4 billion. I think it's always moving, but $2.4 billion endowment, substantial. What does that mean to people? What does a $2.4 billion endowment mean? Like, what do we, those that don't know, what was our takeaway from that type of instrument?
Well, it's critical. I mean, it is meaningful. The earnings from that endowment provide a meaningful percentage of our overall operating budget. We could not be the TCU that we are, but for the stewardship and the great management that's occurring at the TCU endowment. It is a significant endowment for a school of our size. It's in the top 60 of all universities in the country, including universities that are, you know, 2, 3, 5 times as big as TCU. And so I think it is it's proxy for the generosity of our alumni and parents and foundations, which I think is proxy for the experience they had, particularly alums as students. You know, I do believe that our alumni feel like they have secured a strong return on their investment in TCU, that TCU was transformational in their lives. And through our outstanding alumni organization, you know, we continue to be a part of their lifelong success as they are in ours. And so while it's a big number and, you know, and it's growing and I'm very excited about it, I think beyond the number, I think what it really says about the nature and goodness of TCU is even more powerful.
Very good. Real quickly, the enrollment, 12,000 and change, how big do you want TCU to be in the next, I mean, during your tenure as president and hopefully chancellor one day, how big do you think TCU should be or will be at some point?
Yeah, that's an ongoing conversation. You know, we have modeled a number of scenarios. You know, some are, you know, very aggressive, some are more modest in nature. I do know that we will grow. I think we'll grow with prudent pace. We will not grow at a level that would ever compromise our connection culture, the student experience, our ability to provide world-class student outcomes, our ability to keep class sizes small and intimate, and put our students and faculty in a position where they can know each other well and build lifelong intergenerational relationships. That is, that's paramount. That's been our secret sauce in many ways.
Nice.
That's gotten us here. So why we would turn our back on that is beyond me. What I will say is that when you have 22,000 and going up to X, we'll see what it is this year, applications, we're leaving a lot of talent, a lot of opportunity for a broader impact in society on the table. And trust me, I'm on the back end of a lot of tough phone calls with disappointed, talented students, or maybe really disappointed parents, who had their hearts set on TCU.
Oh, because they didn't get into school.
Correct. Yeah. And some of those stories are really heartbreaking. And I look at we took about 2,400 students this year, and I look at the depth of quality thereafter, and I mean, we could go pretty deep into that applicant pool and not miss a beat. And so I think that's important for the individual student. It's also important for Fort Worth in this marketplace. Mm-hmm. Even though TCU is a majority out of state university, I mean, once you get to Texas, you fall in love with the place. Once you see what's happening in Fort Worth, you fall in love with the place, and you really don't want to leave. And so we're a net importer of talent into our workforce here, locally and across the state. And so I think we have an obligation to the communities in which we circulate and serve. And if we can get a little bit bigger, then I think that we can be a stronger voice and a bigger part of the solution for the workforce needs of Fort Worth and beyond. We're very aggressive in collaborating with community leaders, regional leaders, and I think they have a strong appetite for the type of talent that's emanating from TCU.
Right.
And so I think we can be an even stronger partner in the years ahead if we grow a touch.
One of the stated promotional factoids on TCU Online, on the website, is that there's 229 days of sun here in Fort Worth. It always makes me laugh because, if you know Fort Worth or Texas, most of those days, not all of them, are, 100 degree plus weather. I wonder if that ever emulates from some of those statements. Like, yes, 229 days of sun at the school, but a lot of those days you're going to be probably not outside all the time because it's so hot.
Yeah.
More of a joke. No need to respond to that. As we grow on to the fun part of this interview, the last piece is Greek life.
Yeah.
About almost half of students at TCU are, especially with the Greek system, it's a big selling point. It's part of the reason probably we're number one happiest students, I got to believe. What can you tell us about the Greek life?
I think it is a big part of the vitality of the place. Amazing leadership opportunities, certainly a social dimension that is desirable for many of our students. For me, I was involved in Greek life when I was an undergrad and was a student leader in Greek life. And, it gave me the platform to, in many ways, lead without formal authority, right? Mm-hmm. To learn how to bring people with you and to use logic to either seize opportunities or solve challenges. So as I look back on my undergraduate days, certainly I learned a lot in the classroom. And through a variety of student organizations, but from a leadership perspective, from a empowerment perspective, from building a support network perspective, Greek life was a big part of my trajectory, and I'm so proud to see it alive and well at TCU.
For sure. All right, let's see how well President Pullen knows his school.
Okay.
Some hot seat questions. Daniel, how many living alumnus are there of TCU?
So this one's easy because I was fortunate enough to be involved in the commencement ceremony this past May, where we celebrated our 100,000th living alumni.
Excellent.
And we had a really special celebration, and we surprised the student that was just kind of the lucky number 100,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there was confetti and fanfare and all sorts of, it was just a moment I'll never forget.
That's neat. TCU has stated quiet hours on campus. Do you know what these hours are?
They may be stated. I walk the campus all the time, day and night. It's always full of energy. It's electric. And if that's quiet, I mean, maybe it's a little bit quieter in some moments than when we score a touchdown in the Carter. But no, what a fabulous amount of activity and enthusiasm and energy that happens 24/7.
I love your answer. It's 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Sunday through Thursday, and then midnight to 10 a.m. Friday and Saturday. So
don't believe it.
I don't believe it either. So fair enough. What church is TCU affiliated with?
The Disciples of Christ.
Very good. The acceptance rate at TCU. There's a couple numbers online, and what's the official acceptance rate for applications?
This last year it was in the low 40s.
40s. Okay.
Yeah. And it'd probably be lower this year
because of the application increase. Best restaurant, not on campus, around campus.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna get in trouble on that one. but the political answer, which is also 3 to 4 meals for me a week, is Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
At the Blue Student Union.
Very good. The highest ranked department at TCU, according to sources or other entities that rank schools.
Well, there are so many different top 10 institutions. I'll tell you, my opinion is the great work that happens in our career services department. Mm-hmm. The care that goes into, preparing students, the career coaching, the interview mm-hmm. practice, the connectivity with our alumni and top employers, our students are ready to run. And so, every academic department, has their brag stats and this ranking and that, and, that can be kind of a bowl of spaghetti. But what I see every day is really loyal staff pouring in to our students to prepare them for the real world.
Very good. TCU football program won 2 national championships. What years were those won in?
They were both in the 1930s. I'm going to go 35 and 38.
That is, you nailed it. Do you know who the head coach was back then?
Dutch.
That's correct. Well done. TCU's motto. Do you know what it is?
Oh, what's TCU's motto?
Disciplina et est facultas.
Oh yeah, on our
my
scene.
Latin is strong here.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Yes. Most successful sports program in TCU history, based on national championships, I believe.
Oh wow.
This is a tough one,
this one's a tough one. Mm-hmm. National championships in history. Well, we've got 2 in football. Mm-hmm. We've got at least 2 in tennis.
I'll give you a hint. It's not football or tennis.
Okay. Wow. Tell me, educate.
Rivalry.
Okay, how many?
2010, 2012, and 2019 national champions.
All right, so 3.
Quietly, this program is very strong at this school.
Yeah, fabulous.
And I know you know this because you answered it for some other interviews that I witnessed, but who founded TCU?
Addison and Randolph Clark.
Correct. How many acres is TCU's campus?
I'm going to go about 280.
302. This may have grown since then.
Yeah. Need a census data.
Can you sing the alma mater?
I probably can.
That's the correct answer. Or I'll also accept I'm not singing on this show.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All hail. Let's go.
Male to female ratio at TCU?
58, or male 42, female 58.
That checks out as well. After Texas, what state brings the most students to TCU?
California.
Do you know the ratio?
It's approaching 20%.
20%. So Texas California University is a fair thing that people say sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
How old is our Chancellor Boschini?
That will not be disclosed.
Good, that's the right answer. Who is the highest paid employee at TCU?
I assume it is our head football coach.
That also is correct. This is a fun one, I think. There's a flower budget for TCU. Stories have been written about this person, Mary Evans Beasley. Less of a hot seat question, but she's bequeathed around $800,000 more or less to TCU for flowers. One of the reasons is that if you walk around campus, most times you'll see beautiful flowers everywhere. Do you know more about this story than I'm just be sharing right now?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's, again, I think it's a great testimony to, mm-hmm. the commitment of our alumni and friends of the institution that they want to do everything first class. Oftentimes, or maybe all the times, the built environment has a lot to do with your attitude, your mm-hmm. perception, your drive, your enthusiasm for whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. whether you're acquiring a college education or mm-hmm. Trying to move a world-class company forward. And so the look, the feel, the sights, the sounds has a lot to do with the success of our students, as well as how it makes people feel when they're considering coming to TCU. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the most important decisions in life sometimes are not just facts and figures and the product of some spreadsheet that somebody builds. It's how you feel, or how mm-hmm. a place makes you feel, that connects you emotionally, and gives you comfort that you're about to make the right decision. And I think choosing a university is one of the most important decisions you'll make in your life. If you think about particularly our undergraduates, you know, they'll transform from 18-year-olds to 22-year-olds. Right, right. You know, they'll be educated, they'll be prepared for their careers. They will build their lifelong friends. They may find their spouse and the person they, you know, they mm-hmm. build a family with. I mean, these are really important things that happen. And so you want to get that decision right. Yep. And yeah, we could brag all day about the stats of TCU and why it's logical, but we want that place to also feel squarely emotional, that this is where I'm going to be transformed.
Truly. That was a great job, by the way, those questions. The last one, I guess, you spoke about this 150 years of TCU, so it's founded in 1873. Yep. The next 150 years, you know, if you're here to the end of that, you'll be something like 196 years old, but is it not in a joking way, but
yeah,
we'll all be gone then. But what is TCU, what does it look like? That's such a forward thinking, that's such a long time. The earth might not even be around, we don't know that, but that, what does a school look like in 150 more years?
Yeah, I mean, I think the built environment will be different. Maybe some of the coursework that we teach will be different. The types of research, you know, I mean, everything will change, and always has changed, mm-hmm. right? So we know that's gonna be the case, but what won't change will be our commitment to being a values-driven university, mm-hmm. that we're gonna make every decision based upon the best interest of the student, that we're gonna comport ourselves with civility, that we're gonna be good stewards of our resources, that we're gonna be connected to our community, and mm-hmm. that we're gonna be a catalyst for change and progress. That will be a constant.
I think I know the answer to this, but what's the best part of your job?
I think teaching. I mean, even though it's not technically in my job description, it's what motivates me to mm-hmm. perform all of the, you know, the duties mm-hmm. that are a formal part. The other thing is the people I meet. I'm inspired by them, their interest in participating in a variety of ways, engaging in our progress. It's so satisfying to work for a place where everybody is cheering you on mm-hmm. and is for you and wants to see you take the time and energy that you've been given and put it toward a common objective. And we've built something that's, you know, quite special, possibly unique in higher education, mm-hmm. and we're just getting started.
Any heroes in your life?
There's a lot of heroes. My dad, of course, is at the forefront of that. Just a tremendous man, a great leader. He's the kind of person that made you feel better about yourself every time you encountered him. And so I'd like to model a bit of that in the way I pour into people, and listen to them, and then figure out how I can help them, you know, move from where they are today to where they are dreaming about tomorrow.
That's fantastic. Did you ever play any sports growing up?
Oh yeah, I played tennis.
Tennis?
Yeah, competitive. I still play. I still play in leagues. And
how's your game?
You know, I would say since February 1st when I started this new job, it's been a little spotty and uneven. But maybe in the years ahead, I can get back out there with more regularity.
That's fantastic. Well, we appreciate you being on the show, Daniel, and the insight into your life, into TCU. Obviously, we're very proud to know you and call you a friend, and a wonderful job. The last question we always ask our guests, and it's a tough one, family affairs aside, nothing family affair at all, what is the best day of your whole life?
Oh, wow. Best day of my whole life. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it'd be hard to argue against that Fiesta Bowl win.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, yeah. I had a lot of the most important people in my life around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, achieving what many thought was impossible, celebrating not just the victory or the moment, but really understanding the decades of vision and commitment that came before mm-hmm. that to create that platform for that success. You know, that's tough to beat.
I can appreciate that. Thank you, sir. That has been another episode of 42 with our special guest, President Daniel Poland. Thank you for joining us. 42.